Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this new day, another beautiful morning, and we thank you for the rains, and we thank you for all that you provide in due season, and we just depend upon you and know that you do what is needed to provide for your people. And so thank you, Lord, for all that. We thank you for your word. As we again pick up your word and study it from the book of Psalms, and we thank you for so many things that we see in these Psalms. Psalms that have been set to music, and so we'll see that today with On Eagle's Wings that has been chosen by Charmaine to sing in church today. So we thank you for each thing that you provide and what we see in your word and have grown in our understanding of what you have told us ahead of time. And we'll see that as we begin Psalm 97 this day. We'll see the prophetic nature of it. So we just thank you for the people who've come. Thank you for the people who may be listening in. And we just ask for your blessing and guidance for our more clear understanding of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So you should have your Bibles open to Psalm 97. And I'm going to continue the process I've been doing, which means I kind of give you a heads up what's in that particular psalm, break it down by broad verses, and then talk about it a little bit more, read through it in detail. And by all means, if you see something in there that you hadn't seen before or you want to comment on, don't be afraid to speak up. So, Psalm 97, the writer of the psalm is unknown, which most of this book 4 is unknown. We only have a couple that are known to be given to us by David. And so, and then we have the Moses. We had the Moses Psalm in 90, Psalm 90. And the rest of them are all unknown, the 14 of the rest. 17 total psalms in this book, book 4. And it's the book of Numbers. And of course, the book of Numbers also gives us a picture in Genesis or in the early writings from that Moses was given with the journey, much of the journey that the Israelites went through in the desert. So you'll see some emphasis on that in these particular psalms. So let's begin. Psalm 97 opening, and I'm just going to break this down into 4 sections. The first 8 verses first, and I want to talk about those and read something to you from my book of prophecy here from Grant Jeffries. I use Grant Jeffries, and so he kind of describes these first 8 verses in a way that I had never seen before, even though I've had this Bible for some time, but in reading it, it was interesting. So we'll do those first 8 verses, and then verse 9 by itself, verse 10 by itself, and we'll talk about those, and then verse 11 and 12 together. So let's start out by what I'm gonna give you a heads up here, and then I'll read it. The heads up will be what Grant Jeffries writes about this, these first 8 verses. So let me read the footnote that he put in his understanding of the psalm. This prophetic psalm describes the victory of the Messiah and prophesies about the battles that will defeat the armies of the Antichrist, ushering in the millennial reign of Christ. So see if you see in these verses that picture. And I also want to point out to you, which is one of my favorite phrases, you all know that by now, in verse 2b, the second part of verse 2, it's once again mentioned righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So why, when I started emphasizing the that phrase, I didn't realize that it had such meaning until I saw it here in the Psalms a couple of times with the foundation of God's throne. So, I think it's important to reflect upon why is righteousness and justice? And we can see what happens in our world, in our culture, when righteousness and justice are not upheld. Everything goes to pot, so to speak, either literally or figuratively. Let me read these eight verses and just kind of follow along. I'll just leave it as a total picture. So just see if there's anything that I don't talk about that you want to bring up too. So by all means, do that. The Lord, Yahweh, reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. And then righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt, and you can see that in the judgment elsewhere in Scripture. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord, before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods, little g. And then verse 8, Zion, Jerusalem, hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, O Lord. And so when Grant Jeffries writes about this, he says this is a prophetic psalm that describes the victory of the Messiah, and prophesies about the battles that will defeat the armies of the Antichrist, ushering in the millennial reign of Christ. And so I think it's a pretty important heads up for what is yet to come, what's yet to happen. Then verse 9, I listed that separately and just used the words, "You, O Lord, are the most high and above all gods." And that's pretty much what it said here, "For you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." And then verse 10 by itself, and I'm just going to read it as is. "Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked." And then verses 11 and 12 together, which describes light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. "Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name." And so that's Psalm 97 and kind of the breakdown of that. Psalm 98, again, is unknown as to who actually wrote it and provided it. And I just put in total these nine verses, beginning and ending of this psalm actually echoes again Psalm 96, which we did last week, in describing humanity's joy at the establishment of Christ's righteousness, government in the millennial kingdom. So this also, Psalm 98, has a millennial kingdom concept or view of it. So let me just read through these nine verses and see maybe some of the phrases that may stick out and be meaningful. Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. That just speaks to me what Sonia just told me. Charmaine is selected on eagle's wings for us to sing today in church. And Sonia told me that she wasn't really that aware of that song. I just find that kind of amazing through all the years that I've seen it and heard it played. But and so here in Psalm 98, we see more of the impact of this with the picture of the future of the millennial kingdom. So sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord Yahweh has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing. With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Very interesting phrase. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord Yahweh, and he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. So that's a picture of the future, the judgment of God that everyone will be subject to. And so that's kind of a pretty strong psalm to reflect upon.
Jerry?
Yes, yes.
You had mentioned verse 6, you said was an interesting verse. Psalm 98, verse 6.
I don't know if I did. I don't remember.
Let's see. You mentioned the horn.
Oh, okay. As I was reading it. Okay, you're right.
Oh, it was the horn?
The trumpet sound. The shofar. The shofar is a very important instrument in the Hebrew culture.
Shofar.
To announce a coming king, to announce a war, they're going to war. There's like three reasons for blowing the shofar. We know the shofar is blown at the holidays, the Jewish holidays, and announcing that holiday. It's an important part in God's people's culture to use the shofar, the ram's horn.
Mine says with trumpets and sound of cornets. Is that kind of what that instrument is like?
What version is that?
Verse 6.
What version?
Version.
That's a King James.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so, I have
so I don't know what the word is in Hebrew. I didn't look it up for sure.
Cornet is the type of thing. The same thing.
So the cornet is used? Because it'd be a little bit different than the ram's horn, but for a similar purpose. It actually says with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn.
Some versions have trumpets and the horn. He says shofar.
Yep. The one should be the shofar. The ram's horn should be the shofar. The trumpets could be a cornet. So there's two
trumpets and horn, right?
Yeah, so there's two references to the instrument that's being blown.
And theirs would have been.
Yeah.
Well, they also had two silver trumpets, remember?
Yep.
Yeah, the two silver trumpets that were used during certain feasts.
Yeah, some of the.
Yeah.
So, that might be something to look into, just to see.
Well, yeah, the horns were sure. I need to go look now.
Okay, we'll leave it at that for now. A little more study, maybe if anybody's interested. And I'll try to look at it too, maybe a little bit more. So, but anyway, it's an important concept for Israel, for God's chosen people, particularly this psalm given to them. And the imagery, at least by what Grant Jeffries is putting it together, of a sense of the millennial kingdom to come. Things that will happen before and into the millennial kingdom that will be of importance and hinted at here. So let's move on to Psalm 99. Okay, 99. It's 9 verses again. I'm just going to read kind of the overview of this psalm, again unknown. And it seems to point out some characters that you'll recognize names for as we read it. The Lord, Yahweh, reigns in Zion over all the nations. That's an important concept because that has not really happened, in our time by any means. The king loves justice, and the king is capitalized, so I believe it's Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ. But it also reflects back on the ancient characters. Remember Moses and Aaron and Samuel, and you answered them. So God answered their needs and prayer. And then one of the verses will say, as I read the whole thing, exalt the Lord, our God, and worship at his holy mountain. So this is all pointing to the coming together at the holy mountain, at Zion, which will happen when Jesus comes back in all his glory and ultimately will rebuild the temple, the final temple, talked about in Ezekiel 40-48. And I believe that's what it's pointing to. And Jesus will set up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years and will rule and reign. And Revelation gives us some points on that in some places in the Old Testament as well. So anyway, let me read verse for verse what Psalm 99 says, these 9 verses. And you can reflect upon them as I read them. The Lord Yahweh reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Well, that would be an indication on the Ark of the Covenant, in some fashion, as king, as ruler. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord Yahweh in Zion, on the holy mountain. He is exalted over all the nations. So he will ultimately receive his just due after the tribulation period, and he destroys the enemy, including the Antichrist, and throws him in the lake of fire, in the lake of fire. And the devil is bound up for 1,000 years, if you read Revelation 20. And so Jesus will rule and reign on earth. And so that's, let them praise your name and an awesome name, your great and awesome name. He is holy. Pretty well describes him. And then verse 4, the king, capital K, is mighty, and what does he love? Justice. Again, important. You have established equity in Jacob. You have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord Yahweh our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, Yahweh, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of the cloud, They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. And then verse 8, O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord Yahweh, our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord Yahweh, our God, is holy. Couldn't be more clear than that. That will be the ultimate outcome and prepare the way for the millennial kingdom, which we all look forward to. But there's still going to be a rebellion at the end of the 1,000 years. You can see that in Revelation 20. And then all injustice will be wiped out, and then there will be an eternal kingdom. And that's what it's described in Revelation as well. Forever and ever. I mean, that's a term none of us could really grasp. I mean, it's like, there's got to be an end to things. That's kind of the common way of thinking. We know this life comes to an end. And so, but to have something that goes on forever and ever and ever, that's the peace we're looking forward to. So, can't wait. Can't wait. Okay, let's go on to Psalm 100. And this is, again, an unknown provider of the psalm, but it's only 5 verses. And so I'm going to kind of describe how I put those 5 verses together, and then we'll read each one of the verses. It basically talks about shout for joy to the Lord, Yahweh, worship him, know that the Lord is God, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now I'll read it word for word. You can kind of see what I overlooked or left out to get the important part here. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Again, that important message that tells us this is not the end of things in this world, in this life, in this time. There is an eternity. Eternity future, there's first the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign, and then there's the eternal kingdom. That's what we're looking forward to. Now there's some things that have to happen, which we know are described also in Scripture and are not a lot of fun if we live in that time. And it seems like so many things are setting the stage for where we're at. I don't know if this is just my opinion. I don't know anything that God has said in his word that isn't totally ready to happen. Now, that isn't saying it will happen today, tomorrow, this week, this year, or in 10 years. But I think everything that God has said will happen could happen. At any time. That's just my opinion. Now, there'd be some that might argue that there are certain things that just don't seem like are ready to be done in the way that they need to be done. So, but I think we need to live our life each day. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made, and live and be glad in it. So, okay. Let's go on with 101. And this is David's psalm. And it's 8 verses, and I just, instead of talking about any of the verses, and I'll read the whole thing, But I want you to watch how many times "I will" is said here. I counted 8 total. I might have missed some. But as I read them, I'll try to emphasize them, because it starts out with that right away. And this is David. "I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, Yahweh, I will sing praise." That's 2 "I wills." Then in verse 2, another "I will." "I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me?" That's a question. And then ending in verse 2, another "I will." "I will walk in my house with blameless heart." And verse 3 starts with "I will." "I will set before my eyes no vile thing." And then he goes on, "The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. Men of perverse heart shall be far from me." Again, "and I will. I will have nothing to do with evil." I mean, that ought to be a phrase that all of us carry with us. Now, it's hard in our times. There's so much evil all around. I mean, you can't listen to the news without all evil that's happening. So, let's see. I will have nothing to do with evil. Verse 5. "Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence." So don't slander your neighbor. "Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not endure. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence." And then it concludes, and this is the last 2 "I wills." "Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord." Pretty important promise. And King David, who I believe, according to Ezekiel, I believe, will be ruling with Christ in the millennial kingdom. Be part of that kingdom. So, okay. So let's go on to verse 102. Again, this is an unknown, and this is a longer chapter, 28 verses. So I'm going to kind of summarize what I see as the main points, and then we will read through it. I'll try to read through it fairly quickly, but I want to kind of summarize where I see the breaks are. Verses 1 to 11, I believe, describe, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Do not hide your face from me. Turn your ear to me when I call." Verses 12 to 15, "But you, O Lord, sit enthroned forever." Always recognizing that. 16 and 17, "The Lord will rebuild Zion." Now we know Zion is in disarray, in destruction. So it will be rebuilt. "We'll rebuild Zion and respond to the prayer of the destitute." Verses 18 to 22, "People not yet created may praise the Lord." Those that haven't even been born, and that I guess would be what created would refer to, even though God knows them before they're in their mother's womb. God knows them, but the creation here is that they are brought to life. And so that's those verses. Verse 23 and 24, "He cuts short my days. Do not take me away." Verses 25 to 28, "You laid the foundations of the earth. You remain the same, and your years will never end." I'm going to read through the whole thing quickly just to kind of put it all together. But 102, a prayer, my Bible note says, a prayer of an afflicted man when he is faint and pours out his lament before the Lord. And so He starts with, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. Because of my loud groaning, I am reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. For I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears. Because of your great wrath, for you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, sit enthroned forever." That's an absolute statement. "Your renown endures through all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. For her stones are dear to your servants. Her very dust moves them to pity. The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory. For the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. In the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, 'Do not take me away, O my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you.'" What a promise. And that's receiving Christ and believing that he's going to do exactly what he's told us he's going to do. And those that doubt, do it at their own risk. And I put it strongly that way. Okay, we got a little more time, so let's go on to the other one of David's psalm in 103 and 22 verses. Well, I should be able to get through this one. I broke it down into four major topics or breakouts. First five verses is, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." Verse 6, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed." Verses 7 to 18, "He made known his ways, his ways and deeds." And verse 19 to 22, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all." So let me just go ahead and read through this. Psalm 103, Psalm of David. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants, who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere, in his dominion, and praise the Lord, O my soul. And I think we'll probably, it'd be a good stopping place, because 104 is a pretty long one, and we'll save that for next week. We have 104, 105, and 106, which we should be able to get through, even though they're all long psalms. So I think we'll leave it at that. All right, let's close in prayer. Prepare ourselves for a time of worship. Looking forward to the music we're going to sing this morning. A heads up we're given, so I'm just kind of excited about it. So that's great. Let's pray, and for our fellowship meal as well afterwards, after the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you again this day, and we thank you for this time, this place, what we've read, what we've grown to understand in your word. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for giving us Jesus, your Son, to die for our sins. And then we thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to live in the church, to live in the believers that have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we have that special gift as we're still walking on this earth, that we can be guided by your power that is given to us through the Holy Spirit's direction. So we thank you for all that you provide us and prepare us for in this life, in this time. We pray for those who may be hurting at this time, whatever hurts and illnesses and what have you that we're struggling with. We just ask for your relief, your healing touch, your healing hand. So we once again continue to pray for Raymond and ask for you to keep him strong through leadership of this service, this church. And so we ask you to prepare us now, Lord, for our time of worship. We thank you that for all that's been prepared. We thank you for the songs that Charmaine has picked out for us to sing. And we just pray, Lord, that we can lift our voices and just celebrate this day and this time and through the music. We thank you for the other parts of the worship service as well, the prayers, the the scripture reading, the message that Raymond will give, and then we pray after the service as well, Lord, that our fellowship meal together will be a blessing on each person who comes and is part of it. But we also pray for a blessing on those who, as they leave this place, this day, will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Thank you for guiding our teaching this day. And I just pray that it can be meaningful and beneficial for all who may hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.